Thank you, Brother Bro. Let's take our Bibles now and turn to 2 Kings, if you will. Fourth chapter division. 2 Kings chapter 4. If I'm reading my Bible and the Bible says something like this, she was a good woman, then I believe it would behoove me to pay attention to it and see what kind of attribute she had. If God allowed the writer to talk about the lady and say she was a good woman. And so we want to look at a good woman, and I'm going to presume that this woman was saved, that she knew the Lord, that she was a born-again person. Even in the Old Testament, of course, they were justified and saved by faith. 2 Kings chapter 4, and we'll begin our reading at verse 8. Reading through, we'll go down to about verse 17. And talk about a great mother in Israel. In verse 8, 2 Kings 4, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. There was a little place, a territory between where Elisha lived and Mount Carmel, and this was on the way to Mount Carmel. So he passed by there quite a bit. So in verse 10, she said, Let us make a little chamber, a little room, I pray thee, on the wall. Most Bible scholars believe it was on the roof. And let us set for him there a bed and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. Just a very simple answer. I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Now let's look at this woman and see some of the traits that she had. One of the first things I noticed about this woman that God said was good was her hospitality. In verse 8, she was a woman that cared about other people, and she was observant to the needs of those that were around her. She was a kind woman. Isn't it great if a mother is a kind mother? And I know most of us could probably say yes, I had a kind mother. And this is the way she was. She was very kind. May I suggest to you that God always rewards kindness. Kindness is a good thing, and God honors that and rewards that. And this lady was a lady of kindness. I ask you a question today. How sensitive are you, mothers, or any of us, about the needs of people that are around us? How observant are we are to those who pass by our home, or those who flow through our lives, especially those who are God's servants in God's business, serving the Lord full time. I believe the Bible indicates that we ought to find ways to help them out if we can, to do what we can to serve and to help. And that's always a good trait, a mother that is a mother given to hospitality. We have some families like that in our church. I thank God for families in our church. When we have missionaries in, maybe for a conference, they open up their homes. And they say, we have a place for them. We don't mind them being there. We're honored to have them there. We want to be hospitable. We want them to come and join us. Doesn't matter about what we have in our house. If their children break something, that's all right. God will replace it. Most of us probably are too proud of our stuff and too particular about our stuff, maybe to have them in our homes. But thank God there are some people that are very hospitable like that. And they keep students that may be in school, and they keep missionaries that may be passing through, or preachers that might be staying in the area. They are given to hospitality. And may I suggest to you, moms, too, that that would be a good thing for you to be toward your children's friends. Be hospitable to them. If you want to know who they're running around with, have them over to your home. I think that's a great thing for parents to do, is to know the children that your children are running around with. My mother had a seventh or eighth sense, and I could bring somebody home with me, and after I brought them home and came back maybe the next day, they went on to school and went home, she'd say to me, who is that boy you brought home with you? And I would know that he probably wasn't the best company that I should have. And she'd say, I think you need to quit running around with him. I observe this, and I observe that, and I observe the other. But I'm glad she was always open. Have the children in. Have my friends in. And you can tell a whole lot about who they're running around with and how to advise them and how to help them. She was a hospitable person. Isn't that a good trait for all of us to have, to look out for the needs of others? And then I notice her piety, her devotion to God. Look at verse 9. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God which passeth by continually. I believe she was in tune with Almighty God, or she wouldn't have known this. Here was a mother, here was a lady, later to be a mother, that had spiritual discernment. Mothers, you need spiritual discernment. Where are you going to get that from? That's more than just the common things of life. Spiritual discernment is going to come from God. That's why every mother should be a praying mother. Amen? Every mother should be spending time daily on her knees, calling on God, asking God to give her wisdom to help and to raise and to train and to teach by training them verbally and by training them with their lifestyle, who the Lord Jesus Christ really is, and to have the wisdom to know how to do it. The way to get that perception, to know how to have discernment, is to go to God in prayer. You see, discernment is God-given. And not everybody has it, but a woman who really wants to be in tune with God, who honors God, who loves God, and wants to raise her children the way God wants them to be reared, she'll be in prayer and asking God for that discernment. I believe that my mother was a woman of prayer. And I know that many, many times later on, as she described some of the things that were going on, she told me about how God gave her the discernment to handle certain situations in my life. And God used that, and God blessed it. And that's one reason I'm here today, because I believe she had discernment. Mothers, how is your spiritual appetite today? Do you have a strong appetite for the things of God? Are you sure that you have a strong appetite for the things of God? We think of children. Children start out with milk or some kind of formula, or being breastfed, and then they grow, and then we get them on some other food, and hopefully when they get a little older, we get them on nutritious food and try to keep them on that. But sometimes they get away from that, don't they? And what do we have to do? We have to guard against junk food and too many sweets and all of those other things that we have to guard against. Well, what about us? What about mothers? What about our appetite? Are we still hungry for the things of God? Are we challenged to have the spiritual food that God really wants us to have? If we do, we're going to spend some time with God. Mothers must spend time on their knees and must spend time in the Word of God to feed on the Word of God to get this discernment and power and strength to rear our children in a way that pleases God. Mothers, could you say today to those that know you, I am committed to God. I am totally, without reservation, committed to Almighty God. We should be. And mothers, God challenges you today to be a committed, God-fearing mother who has that spiritual discernment. And then I see something else about this mother. She had contentment and a peaceful life. Look at verse 13. He wanted to reward her because she had taken care of him. And he said unto him, to his servant, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. You've taken care of us. What's to be done for thee? What can we do for you? Do you want me to take you to the king? I know him, and I have the ability to go in and talk to him, get you a position. Or do you want to talk to the captain of the host? I can talk to him for you. And he'll see that you are blessed and that you have position, that you're honored and all of that. What did she say? A very, very simple answer. She just simply said, I dwell among mine own people. I dwell among my own people. You know what she was saying? I'm content. I am satisfied. I'm happy exactly where I am. You see, she wasn't looking for fame. That was not her purpose in life. She was not looking for material gain and money and all of those things, but she was looking for peace in serving the Lord and how she could best serve the Lord. And that was exactly her mindset. 1 Timothy tells us in 6:6, but godliness, that's first, with contentment is great gain. Mother, can you say I have godliness in my life? And because of that, I have contentment in my life. And you look at not material things and not all of these other things at great gain, but that godliness gives you the contentment, and that in your life is great gain. What a high privilege to be called to motherhood, to rear your children, to lead them in the things of God. How content should we be in that first priority that is in the life? And your priority is your husband and your children. Nothing else should be your priority. God, of course, number one. And then according to God's will, your priority should be your husband and your children. God says that that is something that ought to make you very content, very happy, very fulfilled, very pleased. And then I see her motherly love, beginning with verse 14. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, she doesn't have a child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, you're going to have a baby. She said, no, don't say that to me. I'm not going to have a baby. Now, she wasn't really being cantankerous here, but I believe she really wanted to be a mother. I think that's something that is inborn in most people. And some ladies cannot have children, but they can adopt children. And not only, I mean, legal adoption, but they can also become a mother to many other children. Sometimes it may be a pastor's wife who doesn't have children, but she has a lot of children. She has a whole church full of them. And so we can find fulfillment in fulfilling that role in some capacity. But I believe it's inborn in all women primarily to have a baby and to enjoy having a baby and to have their own children. And that would be the desire that she would have. But God's providence was going to take care of that. And God has strange ways of bringing about His will in the lives of people that are faithful. And I believe she was rewarded by that to be a mother. And God said, you've been kind, you've been hospitable, you've been gracious, you've been good to other people, and you've honored me, and you've had spiritual discernment, and you took care of the man of God and put others first. Therefore, I'm going to reward you and bless you. Her child was a gift of God. And let me remind you, mother, so is your child a gift of God. And God is the one who made your child. You And your husband did not make that child. God made that child in the womb. According to the scriptures, God says that he formed us in our mother's womb. And the child that is in the mother's womb at conception does not belong to that mother, does not belong to the state, does not belong to some physician, does not belong to Planned Parenthood, but that child in that mother's womb belongs to Almighty God. And nobody has the right to abort something that God has created. Nobody has the right to do that. And so we need to recognize they are a gift of God. And I had an email this week. It was so distressing, and I prayed immediately when I got it, where one of the members of our church sent me an email and said, pray for this family, described a little bit about the situation, and said, pray for them. They're headed now. They're going out now to get an abortion. And I was praying, oh, God, help them to realize what they're doing. May I say to you that if you've done that, God will forgive you. But I'm telling you on record, it's not right. It's contrary to the Word of God. A child belongs to God. And even after they are born to you, they don't belong to you. They still belong to God. They're not ours. That's why somewhere along the way, we need to be willing to give them up. They're God's. Let them go and serve the Lord. And then she was a woman of tender love. Look at the tenderness of this lady. Verse 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. He had a severe, terrible headache. And he said to a lad, to another lad, carry him to his mother. What do dads do when children are sick? Mother, come here. Honey, come here. Check the temperature. I believe this boy's sick. I believe this little girl's sick. And we need you to get up. And we'll go back to sleep while you're taking care of that. But you take care of it. Isn't that precious? Carry him to mother. The daddy knew that mother would take care of him. The daddy knew that mother loved that boy. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees. And he was already considered to be an adult. Now, you can put whatever age you want to on that, but the Bible says he was at least at that age that was considered an adult, and perhaps at the same age of what they give the bar mitzvah today. But anyway, she laid him on, he was there, and he sat on her knees till noon, and then he died. Carry him to his mother. Here he is sitting in her lap. Can you get the scene? Here's the precious mother who loved this child. The child had been given because of the way she had lived, and God had blessed her. And here's this little child, and she has him on her lap, and she's loving him right till the time that he died. What could be greater than a mother's love? I don't know of anything in the world that could be greater in a mother's love. All of us should remember, if we had a good mother, when we were sick and the cool cloth she put on our forehead and all the things she did for us, all the counseling, all the staying up late, all the cooking, all the ironing, all of the errands she would have to run, all of the different things that are done. Thank God for mothers like that. Mothers, you should love your children. God forbid that you'd be a selfish mother or a self-centered mother. Mothers ought to love their children. I thank God again that I had a mother just like that, filled with tender love and a love that would never die, a love that was always there. When I was good, it was there. When I was bad, it was there. Mother's love, always there, unconditional love of a mother. And then I see that her confidence she had during these days of her sorrow and trial. And I'm talking about a good mother. Verse 21, the child died, verse 20, and she went up and laid him on the bed, verse 21, of the man of God, and shut the door upon him and went out. And then she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, well, it's not new moon, it's not the Sabbath and all of that. Then she saddled an ass and said unto her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. She got on that donkey and said, let's go. I've got to go talk to the man of God. The child died. But she still trusted God. You don't see her whining, you don't see her griping, you don't see her questioning God, you don't see her bellyaching about her condition. She just turns to the man of God and turns to God, knowing that that's the right thing to do. She trusted in God. Thank God for mothers who know to do that kind of thing. And then in verse 26, notice God honored something, and that was her faith. Look the way she worded it. Run now, I pray thee, verse 26, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And she answered, it is well. He said, well, how could she answer it is well when her child had just died? Is it well with your husband? Yes. Is it well with your child? Yes. Let me tell you how she could answer that. By faith. She had faith in God, in the man of God, that God could do something about it. And she went to God on behalf of her child. She was not lying about this. This is not a lie. It's a statement of her faith in God. She knew God could do something. And did God honor her faith? Oh, yes, He did. This precious mother, this good mother, this caring mother, this hospital mother, this loving mother, this mother who loved her child, this mother who prayed, and this mother who knew where to go to get help. And she was rewarded. Look at verses 36 and 37. The Bible says, and he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Elisha went there. Went through what they laid the staff first, Gehazi. There was not life, and he came. She said, I want you to come. I want you to come. I care that much. I want you, the man of God, to come. And when he came, he went through what he went through, and the boy came back to life. How many of you believe that really happened? Say amen. The Bible record is right. And God honored her. She was rewarded for being a good mother. The Proverbs say in 31 and verse 8, her children arise up, talking about a godly mother, and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. The children call her good, and the children praise her. What were her traits? This woman in Proverbs 31, she feared God. Ladies, do you fear God? She was a hard-working woman. Read it there in chapter 31. Are you a hard-working mother? There's no place for a lazy mother. You should be a good housekeeper, hard-working mother. You should be somebody that takes care of the needs of your family. And she had respect for her spouse. You notice she talked to her husband about these things. She had wisdom. She had that wisdom that God gave. And the mother in Proverbs 31 also had encouragement. She had care for others, just like this lady did, the Shunammite lady. She had concern for the poor. She had wisdom in finances. These are just some of the traits that this dear mother had in Proverbs 31. And I think these were traits of the one there also for the woman. And then, what were her rewards? Well, ladies, if you'll be the kind of mother and godly mother that God wants you to be, some of the rewards you'll have will be enjoyment. It will be what is true success, not a pseudo-success that the world gives you, but a true success, and you'll have honor. Your children will honor you because you've honored Almighty God, and they'll always come back to that training. And then you will have worth. You'll know that your life has had meaning and purpose to rear your children to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and to train them and teach them how to live right. And one of the best ways to train them is not just telling them to do so, but to show them how to do it. To live the life in front of them and let them catch what you're doing. Mothers, I ask you, are you a godly mother? How would you answer that today? If somebody just point blank walked up to you and said, are you a godly mother? Are you really devoted to God? How would you answer that? And let me say, first of all, you could never say yes unless you're saved. You have to be born again. How can you be devoted to God if you're not even in the family of God? You have to be saved. And so the first step is to come to Jesus Christ and ask Him into your heart to have your sins forgiven and to let Jesus move into your life so that then you have the potential to be the right kind of mother, the right kind of person in this world. A godly mother is a born-again, truly born-again, saved mother. What do you mean born-again, preacher? Realizing you're a sinner, believing Jesus died for you, knowing He paid your sin debt, and calling on Him and asking Him, changing your mind about it, about your life, putting God first, changing your enmity that was in your mind against Him, and repenting and turning to Him and accepting Him as your Savior, depending on nothing else but Jesus' blood. We heard about the blood of Jesus this morning in a song, the blood of Jesus. That's what's going to wash away and forgive you of your sins. May I say to you children that are here today, you young people and children, if you have a godly mother, thank God for her. Amen? Thank God for her. And the Bible says you should love her and respect her. Honor thy mother and thy father. That's one of the commandments. And so, as children, you need to honor your mother and father. And I believe that means as long as they live, to take care of them, see they're taken care of. And I would challenge you today, if you're not saved, to come and receive Christ as your Savior, that you might be born again, not only for mothers, but for anybody here. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. But mother, if you're not saved, come to Him today. Children, perhaps you want to go to your mother. If you're sitting by her, take her by the hand. Walk down this aisle. Kneel down and pray with her. And thank God for her. If you have a godly mother, thank God for her. And come in. If there's a problem between you and your mother, you come and get it right today. Honor your mother. That's biblical. And mothers, be worthy of the honor that they need to give you. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed just a moment. We've looked into the Scriptures at a good mother. The Bible said she was good. These are great traits. Mothers, may I challenge you today to say, I want to have those traits in my life. I want those traits in my life. And if you don't have them, come and pray and ask God to give them to you today. If you're lost, come and be saved. If your mother's here, maybe come and pray with her and thank her for being a good mother and a Christian mother. Father, bless Your Word. Bless this service. This message, according to Your will, we pray that if there's somebody here without Christ, they'd be saved today. God, help us to be good, godly Christians and parents, mothers to be godly mothers for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While we sing.